What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Take-home genealogy DNA tests are all the rage these days. Now anyone can spit into a tube and, in a matter of weeks, learn a lot about their ancestry. Writer A.J. Jacobs has gone all in on genealogy and DNA discovery. He's been working with a team of researchers to construct the world's largest family tree. There are a lot of surprises in there, and ultimately, one tree. This hour on Point, the genealogy revolution and the global family tree. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What do we learn when we light up the family tree? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from New York is writer A.J. Jacobs, known for undertaking quirky quests examining religion, personal health, how to become the, quote, smartest person in the world. Now he's looking at how we are all connected. His new book is It's All Relative, Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree. You can read an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. A.J. Jacobs, welcome to On Point.
Hello, Tom. Great to be here again.
It's great to have you back. What got you on this quest, A.J.?
Well, this started because a few years ago I got a very strange email, and it said, "You don't know me, but I'm your eighth cousin." So okay. I was immediately suspicious. I figured, okay, he's going to ask me to wire $10,000 to his Nigerian bank account.
Right now.
But it turned out he was legitimate, and he is part of this group of people who are building the biggest family tree in history with literally millions of people in dozens of countries, hundreds of ethnicities, all connected on one tree. And it blew me away because I'd always thought genealogy was a little bit stodgy, but nowadays it's actually thrilling, and it's having a huge impact on every part of our lives, the race relations, politics, health, you name, identity. So I thought this has to be my next book.
A global family tree, how would you even do that? DNA tests will tell you, you know, well, you may have had ancestors from this region or that region or that region, but they're not going to tell you who your eighth cousin is. How would you even put together a global family tree?
Well, it is partly DNA, because they do tell you, part of what they do is tell you all of your distant cousins that you didn't know you had. But then there's another movement, which is sort of collaborative genealogy. So it's thousands of people working on a family tree on the internet, almost like a jigsaw puzzle with thousands of people each putting in a little piece. It's similar almost to Wikipedia, the Wikipedia version of family tree. So it is mind-blowing. This is this is the golden age of genealogy.
I realize I've got to get up to date here. So tell us, what do the DNA tests do and what don't they do? They can identify people by name who are your distant cousins. How does it work? You swab, you spit in a tube, and what do you learn?
That's right. Well, that's right. You send off your saliva to there's a number of these services, 23andMe, FamilyTree DNA, MyHeritage, and then they will send you back three things. Not all of them have all three, but the basic idea is, one, they will give you an estimate of your ancestry. So, you know, 48% Northern European, 14% Southeast Asian, etc. The second thing that they will send you is a list of people who share enough DNA that their algorithm has determined they are probably your cousins. And they can estimate. They can say, oh, this is probably your first cousin, your third cousin, your seventh cousin. And then the third thing, some of them, not all of them, is they provide health health information, so genes that affect your health and maybe raise your risk of getting a certain type of cancer. Wait. So they're all fascinating, all slightly controversial, but millions, as you said in the intro, millions of people are now taking them. Over 5 million in America,
I think. Incredible. I guess I didn't know about the second part. They literally send you a list of cousins, like by name?
Well, they have their database of millions of people. And yes, if you want your name revealed, they will send it to you as a name. If not, they'll anonymize it. But you can email them and say, hey, I'm your fifth cousin. Can I borrow some money?
Or whatever you have in mind. So what did you do it? What did you find, AJ?
Oh, yeah, I did all of them. And I joined the family tree. And it was fascinating. I mean, first of all, I did discover I am Jewish. So
you discovered that. I think maybe you knew that.
I kind of knew that since I had assumed that all along. Well, this was interesting. I turned out I was about 97% Jewish and 2.5% Arab. So I love the fact that I have the Middle East conflict raging in my body.
Okay.
But But I also discovered all these dozens of cousins, and that was part of my book, was reaching out to these cousins and trying to throw the biggest family reunion in history. It's a remarkable technology.
I mean, I'm looking here, you know, I don't know if these all just came back in the list. How did you figure all these out? I mean, here you are standing with your I am a cousin sign, with everybody from Henry Louis Gates, who, of course, is famous for looking into this, to Penn Jillette, to Ricky Gervais, to Olivia Munn, to George H.W. and Barbara Bush. These are all your cousins?
They are all officially my cousins. Well, they are all – think of it as the biggest social network ever. It's almost like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but everyone is Kevin Bacon. So some of these cousins I found through marriage. So, for instance, Barack Obama is literally – my fifth great aunt's husband's brother's wife's seventh great nephew. Whoa. So we're practically brothers. But that is the point. In about 10 or 20 years, it's quite likely or probable that we'll have a family tree that connects every single human being on Earth. And I think that that will be a good thing. There are potential downsides, It is, as I say, it's the ultimate social network.
You've got John Legend in here and Morgan Spurlock and Chrissy Teigen and Nick Offerman and on and on.
Right. And I will tell you, it's actually quite useful because I was writing this book about family. I wanted to interview some interesting family members. So I remember calling up George H.W. Bush's chief of staff. I said, I'd love to interview President Bush. He's a patriarch of an interesting family. She said, well, we're not really doing any interviews right now. And I said, okay, I understand, but I am his cousin. I am his third cousin's wife's first cousin's three times removed. And she said, well, in that case, let me see what I can do. Okay. And it actually worked. I actually got an interview. So it is a very useful social network.
I mean, by the time you get to that distance of relationship, there must be, I can't even think of how the math works here, but are there thousands, tens of thousands who would be that closely or distantly related to you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the point is we are cousins with every single person on Earth. And it depends on which scientist you talk to, but one MIT paper put it at about the farthest cousin you have on Earth is a 70th cousin. So that is a yam farmer in Papua New Guinea, and you are 70th cousins. But most people are much, much closer. And because of intermarriage, it's getting even closer still. We really do come from it's not the biblical Adam and Eve, but scientists talk about the mitochondrial Eve and the Y chromosomal Adam. These were the two humans a couple hundred thousand years ago who we all have their DNA. Everyone on Earth, you, me, Miley Cyrus, a dentist in Vietnam, Paul Manafort.
AJ, let me ask you, how good are these DNA tests now? My father is the genealogist in our family, and he's gone back, you know, the first Ashbrook, who came over 1682 from Belfast. But he firmly believes that that first American immigrant in our family married a Native American from the Lenni Lenape tribe there south of Philadelphia. Now, if I do a DNA test, will that show up? Should that show up if it's there?
It should show up if it's there. They are relatively accurate. You got to take them with a little grain of salt. I'll give you an example. About 5 years ago when I first took my – one of the services came back that I was mostly Jewish but also 14% Scandinavian. And I was excited because I was like, oh, okay. I'll get out the cross-country
diverse.
Skis.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was diverse.
Knit a sweater.
Over the years, that percentage has dropped and dropped. It's now under 1%. So I've lost a lot.
What do you mean? How does it drop
chance.
And drop? It just different tests didn't find it? Is that what you mean?
Well, what they do is they have to keep adjusting their estimates based on the database. So they had way too many Scandinavians in their database, and it was skewing the results. So take it with a little grain of salt. Generally, what the genetic scientists say is you can believe the big picture. Like if they say Northern European, that's relatively accurate. When you try to drill down and they say you're 42% Scottish and 14% Irish, that's when it gets questionable. The good news is it will get better. As more and more people do these tests, the databases will become more and more accurate.
But if I have, I don't know how many generations, 8, 10, you know, great-great-great-great-grandmother who's Native American, is that likely to show up?
It is likely to show up because you get a little bit of DNA every generation. And there is some randomness, so it might have been bred out, but I would say it'll show up. I want to hear your results.
I'd love to know. We'll see. A.J. Jacobs is with us. He has gone on all kinds of quests about bodily perfection and living biblically and becoming the smartest person in the world. This time he's looking at genealogy, the family tree, the one big global family tree. His new book is It's All Relative, Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree. Let's have a little family reunion from the OJs. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about genealogy, family trees, the new age of DNA-powered genealogy, shaking up family trees. A.J. Jacobs is with us. His new book is It's All Relative, Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree. You can join us this hour. Have you looked into your family tree, done the genealogy, done the swab and spit in the tube test? What came back for you? Have you gone to that level? Did the whole world come back? Did it surprise you? Why do we care about who's back there in the family tree? Does it feel like it tells you who you are somehow? Really? Does it change your life or your view of the world to know how interrelated we are? There can be surprises. Here was an appearance by Wanda Sykes, maybe not a surprise in her case. She knew during an appearance in Conan back in 2012, she talked about her family and what she learned when she was featured on the PBS show Finding Your Roots, hosted by Henry Louis Gates Jr.
I am the only African-American that he's been able to go back that far to like 1650 in Virginia. And it's because my ninth great grandmother, Elizabeth Banks, she was a white woman, and they think from Scotland, and she came over here as an indentured servant, and she got down with a slave.
No Okay, life rolls. And here's Seth Rogen. He was at the Global Family Reunion. A.J. Jacobs got all wrapped up in. This was a couple of years back. A.J. enlisted celebrities to help spread the word about the event. Here's what comedian Seth Rogen had to say.
Hi, I'm Seth Rogen, and I'm your cousin. It's true. Right now, there are some scientists and researchers building a family tree of the entire world, all 7 billion of us. I'm on the family tree. James Franco's on it. You're on it. Or you will be soon.
And off it goes. How far has that project gone, AJ? We've got supercomputers now. They can do a lot of things. How far has the great matchup of everybody gone?
Yeah, we're about 250 million people in over 60 countries and as I say, hundreds of ethnicities. But it's exponential. The more people who join, the easier it'll be. But I loved hearing about Wanda Sykes because that is a really interesting topic I address in the book, is this idea of that there is no such thing as racial purity. Henry Louis Gates is actually one of the advisors in the book, and he talks about how we really are all a mix. And the average African-American has 24% European DNA. And so I am hopeful that this will actually have a very positive impact when people realize that we are mutts. And it's been fascinating to see white supremacists who are taking these DNA tests, and it's showing up that they have maybe a little Jewish DNA or African-American DNA. And their reactions have been really interesting because some of them flip out and are in denial. They say that these services are a conspiracy, a multicultural conspiracy. Mm. Others actually have a change of heart. So it's made some people almost like a Hollywood movie. They say, "Oh, I've been wrong all along." So I'm really interested to see how this plays out. I think it'll be good, but there are dangers as well.
People like trying to prove racial purity by the same test that others find all kinds of diversity in their own family line.
That's right. The worry is that it'll actually increase tribalism instead of decrease tribalism, and that people will become obsessed with exactly what percentage they are. And I spoke to one Princeton sociologist whose greatest fear is that these DNA tests will merge with an online dating service like Tinder, and you will only date people who have your similar DNA, which I think could be a disaster. But I'm actually hopeful that it'll go the other way and that we'll all realize what a mix we are and that we are mutts. And we're not even a mix of races. We're a mix of species because most of us have about 3% Neanderthal in us.
Okay. Even that direction. A.J. Jacobs, hoping that this takes us all to a big understanding of the family of man and woman. But wow, technology can take us in lots of directions, and it can be very surprising. A.J., lots of callers for you. Wendy in Wallingford, Connecticut. You're on with A.J. Jacobs.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. I've got a great story. It's just about less than 2 months ago, my daughter took the Ancestry DNA test.
Okay.
And my husband is an adoptee who has never looked for his family, never had any real interest in knowing. Mm-hmm. And she was matched up with a woman in South Carolina, that Ancestry said might be a cousin. Well, it turns out that she is the youngest of his 5 half-siblings.
Wow.
And that his mom...
That's close. That's way closer than 17th cousin twice removed. A half-sister.
Yeah, and his mom is still alive. And 2 weeks after we got the information, we flew out to Michigan and met 3 of his half-siblings and his mom and my ton of nieces and nephews. The family is very, very large. My daughter now has all these new cousins. I have all these new in-laws. My husband has all these new relatives. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. We're having the best time with it. We're all in touch on Facebook. They're hoping to come out here and visit us.
That's fantastic. Wendy, how did your husband take it on board? Did it feel like family to him?
Go ahead.
Or did it feel like, whatever that means to you or him, did it feel like family when he finally met them?
When we finally met them, it felt more like we were just catching up rather than getting to than meeting. It was like we're just catching up.
Could you see the relation? Could you look at him and them, their behavior, their appearance, and see it, Wendy?
He's got the one brother that he didn't meet. Everybody says he looks so much like him and acts so much like him. One person came in and said if they didn't know that my husband was up, they would have thought it was the other brother.
AJ, what do you say to the story?
Well, this is an increasingly common tale. I actually have a chapter in the book about a man who grew up in the Midwest. He had 9 siblings, and as adults, they took DNA tests and found they had 9 different fathers. They all assumed they had the same father. So it was like Maury Povich to the nth degree.
Yeah.
And what was amazing to me was, in this case, they were very open to it, and they like Wendy, they said, "Oh, we've got a bigger family." And I loved I found the father very inspirational, because even though he knew he was not biological father of any of these kids, but he still treated them with love and kindness as if they were. So it is going to shake up about 2% of humans have a father that they don't think that is not the biological father. So
wait, they don't think it's their biological father, or it's not?
2% of people are sired by someone who is different than the father they think they have. This is going to be fascinating, because hopefully the stories will be happy, like Wendy's and this guy with 9 siblings, but it's not always the case. I've gotten emails from people who say they took the DNA test and it just ruined their family because the father found out the mother had an affair. So it could go either way.
You're very strong in this book, AJ, on saying, and it's one of the things that opened your eyes to, you can find family connections here, but you're also very attuned to all the kinds of families that we have these days, and how important they are, whether they're genetic families or not.
Right. That's a big theme in the book, is that we are going through a revolution in what the concept of family is, because never before have we had such a variety with gay marriage and sperm donors having dozens of offspring. And there's even technology where you have 3 people's DNA in the same egg. And one of my favorite stories in the book is about 2 Korean women who were twins, separated at birth. They, in their late 20s, someone noticed they were both on Facebook, and they said, "You guys look eerily similar. Like, what's going on?" They got together. They turned out, they took a test. They were identical twins. And what they actually tried to contact their biological mom, who unfortunately didn't want anything to do with them. But what I love is that they say, "That's okay. We feel like we have an abundance of moms. We have at least 5 moms. We've got my adoptive mother, my twin's adoptive mother. One of them's an actress, and she says her manager is her momager." So I love this idea of broadening the idea of family beyond just strict DNA. And I think that it's very important. As my 8th cousin 3 times removed, Hillary Clinton, says, "It takes a village."
Mary in Charleston, South Carolina. Mary, thank you for calling. What's your story?
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to say that because of the Ancestry DNA test, I reconnected with a baby that I had to give up 46 years ago.
Wow.
Now we are getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving together, and I have 3 wonderful grandsons that... Oh, I had no idea.
Do you mean, Mary, that you did the swab or spit in the tube, and it came back and said, you have a daughter that we've identified? Here she is?
Wait. My youngest sister spit in the tube.
Okay.
And just for out of curiosity.
Yeah.
And she's been on the database for a couple of years.
Okay.
My daughter spit in the tube because a friend of hers didn't want to do it alone.
Okay.
And so they both did it. It came back to my daughter that she had a relative, a fairly close relative.
Yeah.
They thought it was a first cousin. And did she want to connect? She said, yes, it was my sister. When my sister heard from her, she knew immediately who this was.
Wow.
And she gave her my name, my email address, my phone number, everything. And on her birthday, every year on her birthday, I have thought about this child.
Yeah.
And wondered, you know, what happened. Well, this year on her birthday, I got an email that said Charleston, South Carolina, and her birthday.
Yeah.
I believe this date and location are important to you.
Oh, my heavens.
And when I opened it up,
yeah,
it was my daughter.
Have you met her, Mary?
Yes, we look identical.
How did that feel the first time you met her?
It was awesome. Truly, it was wonderful. We're now laughing over the fact we do look alike. We share a lot of the same physical features and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've discovered that we share political views. We even drive the same car.
Wow. Mary, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving with that long-lost daughter given up for adoption 46 years ago. Now, I guess her family grows and your family grows. I mean, AJ, as the number of people in these databases grows, the
right.
likelihood of this kind of connection being made, as you say, grows exponentially with it.
Right. And I found Mary's story fascinating. It doesn't always happen that they have the same political views. There's, I talk in the book about a really interesting case of a meteorologist in Texas who found his biological mom through these DNA tests. And it turned out the meteorologist is gay and married to his husband.
Okay.
The mother was a very conservative Christian, so he has the story about them coming together and her learning to accept him and mm-hmm. become more open-minded. But it's not always going to be happy like Mary's or this meteorologist. I think you'll find some which they won't reconcile. But overall, as I say, I'm an optimist, and I think that this will be a good thing for humanity.
Michelle in Newton, Massachusetts. Michelle, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, AJ. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I was really struck, AJ, by something you said earlier about being able to convince George Bush to have an interview with you based on your distant family connection. And I just wonder what that familial relationship does to us psychologically and sociologically, how we are so inclined to treat each other differently, view each other differently when we believe we're related. Thinking of road rage or mm-hmm. any other situation where there could be any kind of animosity. And then once we're related, we change and we shift. So that's
right.
Point number one. Number two.
Oh, so.
Go ahead. Yep.
Oh, no, I just love that question, Michelle, because that is a big theme in my book, is that it actually does change our point of view. And like you mentioned, road rage, when someone cuts me off in traffic, I do try to remember. We probably share a 10th great-grandpa, and what would he want us to do? Maybe he'd want us to hug it out. So it just gives me a little bit more compassion. And there's actually empirical evidence that this works. There was a great study by Harvard just last year where they told Palestinians and Israelis how closely they were related, and it changed their behavior. They became kinder to each other, more open to negotiation. So, and psychologists call it the family bias, this idea that we do treat family, we give them the benefit of the doubt. So I am actually hopeful that this will help people have a change of heart. I don't imagine world peace is going to break out tomorrow when everyone realizes after listening to Tom's show, but I do think it nudges us in the right direction.
Does that make sense to you, Michelle? Or does it seem like a 17th cousin? Why should it matter?
It does make sense. I think the notion that we are all connected, we have more in common than we believe or that we usually think about, if people could be more mindful of that, I agree with AJ that it might nudge us in the right direction, being more generous with each other, being a little bit more forgiving and kind.
You had another question. Give it to us quick before the break here, Michelle.
I did, sure. AJ mentioned the potential hazards of mixing dating and genetics, and I wanted to bring up another example. Actually, I know of a new initiative in Bedouin cultures where there tends to be a lot of genetic diseases that are passed on and intermarriages, close marriages. And this initiative is actually doing genetic testing and combining it with a dating service so that in the matchmaking process, people can avoid those potential genetic diseases that are passed.
Pushing relationships in all kinds of directions, bringing a lot of light to what people may not have understood, relationships they might not have seen. Michelle, I appreciate your call. AJ Jacobs is with us. His new book is It's All Relative, Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree, and there are plenty of those. Casey Musgrave is behind us. Family is family. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Family is family, in church or in prison. You get what you get and you don't get to pick them. They might smoke like chimneys, but give you their kidneys. Yeah, friends come in handy, but family is family.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the new age of DNA-powered genealogy, shaking up family trees. A.J. Jacobs has had a lot of fun with it, both with traditional genealogy and the DNA-powered version. He writes it up in his new book, It's All Relative, Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree. You can join us this hour. How far back and how wide do you know your family tree? And are you the sum of all who came before, or are you your own person? That comment hanging here from our caller, who noting how people can use these, learning about these connections in all kinds of different ways when it comes to dating and more. Also, a lot of response online here, AJ. Missouri says, in today's society where so many people feel so disconnected, these family-expanding technologies are a welcome addition to many lives. But I guess, as you say, you be careful. It doesn't always work out so warmly. Tracy says, my mother's been working on a family tree for many years, has done 23andMe. She says we are African-Americans. She's 22% Irish, her mother. She reached out via Facebook regarding her great-grandfather. They took their tree down. We weren't surprised, just sort of, you know, up with the drawbridge and no thanks. And Greg writes to us, I wonder if you can answer this one, AJ. This is another area, he says, where technology is way out in front of the law. What protections exist to prevent these testing companies from selling your DNA to drug marketers? If databases exist, how long before law enforcement compels them to reveal your DNA to solve crimes? What about it, AJ? What rights do you have when you spit in the tube and send it off?
Oh, yeah, that is a fascinating area. And it will be interesting to see how it plays out, because I do think privacy is a real concern. The companies are very good about keeping it very private and having a lot of security measures. But that said, some hacker in the future may be able to access your genome. And that movie Gattaca, you might remember, that's sort of the dystopian nightmare scenario where everyone can see your genome and insurers can say, no, I'm not going to insure you because you have this gene for cancer. Or you can, another nightmare would be you walk into a bar in 50 years with your Google contact lenses. Yeah. You see someone and then their genome pops up. Oh, they have this gene which might increase their chance of cheating on you, of not having enough of oxytocin, and so you move on. So there are dangers. Again, I think overall the pros outweigh the cons, but it's a tricky area. Oh, and Tom, I did want to, I loved your question as we were leaving. Why do we care? Why do we care about these ancestors and where we come from? Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to bring up a really interesting study a few years ago that showed that kids who were told about their ancestry were more well-adjusted and happier than those who didn't. And the reason is, it's not just that they memorized the dates of their great-grandfather's marriage. It's because they were told the stories. That's the key. You tell the ups and the downs, the successes and the failures, and it gives you grit and resilience. I love to tell my kids about my failures and my ancestors' failures. Mm-hmm. My ancestor who ran for the Bull Moose ran for Congress and got like 1.5%.
Okay.
I think my kids think I might overemphasize the failures. They might think I'm a total failure, but hopefully it gives them some resilience.
I think that's the word. I mean, I love these stories. You feel like you're not just floating in space. You're part of an ongoing process. And if they made it through somehow, we can too, I guess. Stephen in Boston. Stephen, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. Hi, AJ. How are you?
Good.
So right after college, I planned a 3-month trip to Iceland. And as I was getting prepared to go, an investment client of mine told me that he was investing in genome therapies in Iceland. They have a really pure gene pool, I guess, right?
Yes.
And so
isolated on the island for so long, pretty much.
Exactly. So I get there, and I was about 26 at the time. I meet a whole bunch of people my age, and apparently they have an app on their phone that they use for dating to make sure that they're not dating somebody too close to their bloodline, because they've been interbreeding for, I mean, how many years have they been there, right? A long time.
Yeah.
And they've been really isolated. And so I find it fascinating. We were talking earlier about how it can be used so people can only date within their own gene pool. I think it can also be used the opposite way in isolated villages in Africa, in isolated villages in Southeast Asia or in South America. These folks can probably avoid a lot of genetic issues, you know, by using technology like that.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about Google Glass, AJ, but there's Stephen saw in Iceland. If he's got it right, I mean, they're already using apps to figure out, you know, there's a go, there's a no-go, that this or that potential partner is too close, maybe.
Oh, yeah, and Steve is absolutely right. I love that app. The logo is something like bump phones before you bump in bed. And it genuinely
cutting right
tells
to it.
You how close.
And that's all you bump phones, and it gives you like a green or a red?
Exactly. It tells you how close you are. It's actually a fascinating area, this idea of first cousin, second cousin, third cousin marriage. I have a section in the book on it. It has a long history, as you probably know. Mm-hmm. We've had Edgar Allan Poe married his first cousin. Charles Darwin married mm-hmm. his first cousin. And I interviewed an interesting group of people who are first cousin marriage advocates. They believe that it should be legal in all 50 states. It's legal in about half the states, and in half the states
it's
illegal.
What's the argument for that? Aren't there distinct risks that come with it?
There are indeed, but their argument is the risk of a birth defect from first cousin marriage is about the same as the risk of a defect from a woman who is 40 who has a child.
Okay.
So are you going to ban women who are over 40? So their argument is, yeah, it's a slippery slope and that they should be allowed. I mean, I'm not going to be marching in the streets for first cousin marriage rights, but if gun to my head, I would say, you know what? It's okay. I don't plan to marry my cousin, but I would not make it illegal.
A lot in motion out there. Jillian in Scarborough, Maine. Jillian, thank you for calling. You're on the air with AJ Jacobs.
Hi, Tom. I am calling to say that I have actually a wonderful story about reuniting a family. My father's parents ran away together and changed their names. And
wow.
Long yeah. after they were gone, we discovered this. And we were able to trace down my father's mother, and she had a completely different name, 100% different ancestry. In fact, when we did the test, we found out that somebody in the family was Norwegian, which was strange because we're Italian. And we found out that she was from New Jersey, and we were able to reunite with her family. And they've come to our family reunions, and we have developed this really great relationship with both sides since that happened.
I love it. I'd love to know the story of what led them to run away and change their names. It sounds like it must have been a hard story of some kind, but somehow you got over it, and there's the reunion. I mean, here it is again, though, AJ, and Jillian, thank you. AJ, you know, you dip your toe in the stream and you find out you Mainers are related to people in New Jersey and Italians are related to Norwegians. It gets surprising very quickly.
Oh, yeah. And that was part of the book was I tried to throw the biggest family reunion ever and include all sorts of people. And I won't give away the ending, but it was the strangest group of humans ever. It was just every ethnicity. There was a rabbi, a minister, and a Buddhist monk. So it was almost like the setup to a joke. But I also wanted to just quickly, she brought up Norwegian and Italian, mm-hmm. and that is another very tricky area. I interviewed one woman who talked about how she always assumed she was a redhead. She always assumed she was from Irish stock. She did the DNA. It turned out she was part Irish, but also part Latino, part Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. And even more than that, she had 6% of Taino, which is Native American Puerto Rican DNA. And now she identifies as Taino. She practices their rituals, and that is the way that she sees herself, which is going to be, I think, very tricky because there will be people who say that's cultural appropriation. That is, you know, you've got 4% of this ethnicity and you just decide to become that ethnicity. On the other hand, it's I like the idea of expanding and realizing we're all a mix. It's very tricky, and I'm really interested to see how it'll play out.
How often do these genetic tests, instead of just extending and expanding the family tree, how often do they blow it up? They appear to contradict what's in the sacred, you know, family tree that's been handed down for generations.
Right. Well, about 2% of humans are on Earth are what they call non-paternal events, which is a euphemism for that.
Oh, so there's
your mother
that. Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be and the legal repercussions. The royal family just agreed to allow DNA evidence as part of the proof of the line of succession. So it will be fascinating to see. I think it will cause a little chaos. I think we should all buckle up as we go in.
What if they're not really the heir to the throne? I don't know. Martin in Burlington, Vermont. Martin, thank you for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom. Hi. Your show is fascinating to me. My brother and I have never looked alike, and okay. We always joke, can you believe he's my brother? And at 75, we did the spit test.
Yeah.
In Ancestry.com, and I found out that my brother was not my brother.
Wow. Meaning what exactly, Martin?
It was remarkable. As soon as I found that out, I went for a fishing trip and stood in a river for about a week fishing for trout.
Yeah.
And went through all sorts of changes in my mind. And in a couple of days, I felt kind of effervescent and just wonderful that I was a love child. After all, at 75 years old, I find out I'm a love child.
So it means that you had the same mother, I guess, but you had different fathers. Is that your conclusion from this, Martin?
Yes, different fathers. And my mother was married to my father and had an affair in 1940. No one knew anything about this. My mother never told me.
Yeah.
My familial father knew, but no one ever told me, and no one ever told my brother.
What about your conversation with your brother? How did that go, Martin?
Wonderful thing in my life.
How did your conversation with your brother go after learning this?
We spoke together. We're both old guys.
Yeah.
And we got closer and closer to each other. And it's kind of wonderful in that 6 months ago my brother died, and we were so close. My half-brother died,
yeah, okay.
And we were so close to each other when that happened. It was just, and we got a miracle hit from someone in California who was, through Ancestry.com, who was considered close relative, and I've now found my half-family, my half-sisters.
Wow.
We're going over after a holiday vacation to visit them in Oregon, and she says she loves me, and I say I love her, and we've never even met. We speak on the phone all the time.
You stood in the river for a week fishing trout and came to the conclusion that you feel blessed to be a love child.
Yes. I'm a product of passion and desire and love, and I was missing that in my life. So it ended up just being wonderful for me.
That's an incredible story, and we will not lose the image of you standing trout fishing and working it all out, Martin. Thank you very much for that call from Vermont. AJ, it just opens up endless stories. I mean, that's what I feel
here.
The narrative weaving and weaving and weaving together that comes from this.
And I love that he saw this as a positive thing. It reminded me of a couple of years ago, the President Warren Harding apparently had a mistress and gave birth to a kid through the mistress. Yeah. And the Harding family had always denied it. DNA proved that they were, in fact, the direct descendants of Warren G. Harding, and it got complicated. They weren't quite as accepting as your caller, but hopefully they'll come around. As you say, it is endless stories. It is, as I said earlier, it's going to be Maury Povich to the nth degree.
Martin in Vermont, we admire your beautiful open heart. How far does the psychological family effect extend, do you think, AJ? You know, it's one thing, a sibling or a half-sibling or a first cousin or a second cousin. If we all learn we're cousins somehow, do you really think it binds us closer together?
I do. Cass Sunstein, who is a brilliant Harvard professor, behavioral economist, he talks about the family bias, which is that we have a bias to treat our close family better, to give them the benefit of the doubt. And of course, it makes sense from an evolutionary point of view. But now with the technology, we can sort of hijack this family bias and apply it to the world. And I really do think it'll make some difference. I don't think it's the panacea, but I think it will nudge us. And I experience it on a personal level. I'll give you this is an admittedly trivial example, but I think it's instructive.
Yep.
Judge Judy. I always hated her, found her incredibly abrasive. Then I found out she is my eighth cousin, and it made me think, you know what? She's not so bad. She's just Cousin Judy. So hopefully the Judge Judy effect will help the world.
We've got the family bias. We've got the Judge Judy effect. AJ Jacobs, we always love when you go out on your quests, your explorations. And we're glad you went out on the family theme this time, the very big family. The new book is It's All Relative, Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree. AJ, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Cousin Tom.
Thank you, Cousin AJ. Live long and prosper. We'll go out with Sister Sledge, and we are family. I'm Tom Ashbrook. Thanks for joining us. This is On Point.
Just let me stay for the record. We're giving love and